You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And hey, we're welcoming our friends and our family. And if you are a first-time listener to our show, we're happy to have you. We are a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone, as well as some great innovative guests every week. And see what's going on around the USA with our events calendar.
So today we have really great guests. It's Dr. Michael Aharoni from Access to Therapy. And what it's all about is he actually does counseling through a computer where you can log in and they counsel you, not just him, but he has a number of different psychiatrists and therapists out there. But also he has started an organization that helps veterans, all the veterans that are coming back from the war, that are having some challenging times, that might not be able to get to a therapist, now can log in. And technology has gotten to a point where we can allow this to happen. And it's a really fascinating story, a great organization. I can't wait for you to hear it. So before we get into that, let's talk about what we did this week.
Well, I want to say it's been a really exciting week in the humanitarian radio world because it really has come to light how strong the station actually is. And I say actually because it surprises me. When we started this station 2 years ago, we weren't really sure how many people were really into listening to things that are positive, because people are, quite frankly, addicted to the news and addicted to the woe is me, oh my God kind of stuff that's happening around the world. And it seems like they're more interested in hearing that type of thing than hearing positive stuff. But actually, I'm happy to be proven wrong, because as it turns out, we are really becoming a very successful show in that our listening population is growing hugely. We did a few changes on the website to kind of update what's going on there. And in doing that, I realized how many new countries are listening to the show now. And if you look on the website, I actually listed them. But in the last couple months, we've added listeners from Spain, Brazil, China, Switzerland, the Netherlands, Russia, Canada, and Germany.
Yeah.
And Ireland. And I'm like, wow, how cool is that? There actually are people out there from all over the world that are listening to the show because it is a positive place to go and get your fill for great things happening.
Well, I think what's happening also is that, people are not sick of, but I mean, they're becoming so numb to everyday news. If you watch the news, unfortunately, it just constantly just tells you every worst case scenario from your local news to across the nation to around the world. You can actually look at it as a pattern. Dr. Wayne Dyer talked about that in one of his segments where he says, just watch the news next time and see how they actually talk about it. They'll start local about every bad news and every bad story, and then they'll go around the country of every bad story. And then they sensationalize the bad stories when there's a lot of really good stories that are out there, but they never make it to the news.
Right.
Why is that? And people go, well, you need to be informed. I'm like, well, I don't really need to be informed that much.
I think that being informed of all the bad just creates more bad.
Of course, get what you focus on.
And people watch the bad things that are going on and it sparks ideas. Wow, that guy did that and got away with it. I'm going to do that too.
How horrific, how horrible. I guess my life isn't that bad. Or that poor mom or that poor person. You're like, and it's not to make light of any of the bad things that are happening out there. It's what type of world do we live in? Do we live in a very friendly, peaceful world, or do we live in a very negative, horrible world?
It's all
where you put your focus.
There's a line that you use, Tony, when we're doing our positive music shows, when you say, if you think, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, but
come on, you've
I'll
heard
generalize it,
if
you think that the world is bad, then you're right. If you think that the world is good, then you're right. It's where do you put your focus?
Yes, basically.
Pretty much says, I know I didn't exactly.
Say exactly the same, but that's
Got
okay.
That right, but that's the gist of it.
That is the gist of it. So you make the choice.
And so a lot of people around the world are making the choice to switch into positive news and positive things that are going on. And that being said, why this all came to light is because we've talked about a little bit that we have been asked to start Humanitarian Television, a talk show that will be like a weekly syndicated something. And it will feature all great things going on. So I'm like, awesome. People want to see this on TV now. Yay! Let's go a step further. This week, we were asked if we would create Humanitarian Magazine.
Which is very exciting.
Which is another really cool thing. So
I think what's happening, too, for us is people are taking notice, but there's a lot of higher-up people that are taking notice saying, this is a really great concept. This is a really great thing. More people need to know about this, and I'm going to help you get there.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's exciting for us is that we're realizing that this is something special, and this is something that people want to be involved with.
And it first started just because we were tired of seeing the bad stuff all the time, and there was no place for you and I to go to see the good stuff.
Right. And I got to say, for 95 shows now, because we're almost close to our 100th show, that we have been able to really meet some really cool people along the way and learn about a lot of great organizations that are out there that I would have never known about unless I did this radio show.
Yeah. And so speaking of our 100th show, we have a really special guest that we're working on, and he's probably one of the highest level people that we've ever had on the show. And I say that because of his accomplishments. We have yet to confirm him. We literally just came up with this person yesterday, and I cannot wait. I'm literally losing my mind over the fact that we're going to get to have this gentleman on our 100th show to celebrate with us and bring him to you. So stay tuned. See who that is. Way, way, way awesome. Very, very exciting. And the next really exciting thing happening for Humanitarian Radio is the Humanitarian of the Year Awards. In August, we're going to start a competition,
or a campaign for everyone to actually participate, because we're going to have 100 shows out there.
So there'll be 100 guests that have the opportunity to qualify for their Humanitarian of the Year. And we're going to do it by whoever shows get the most listens, because you can go back and listen to all of the shows. So whoever gets the most listens, the top five of those people will obviously be the favorites of our show. And those guys will qualify and be in the running for Humanitarian of the Year. We're going to have a big award ceremony and a concert and all that kind of fun stuff. And look forward to all you guys participating. If you want to be a sponsor of the event, or you want to market or advertise for the event, just let us know and we'll send you the details. You can always check out what's going on in a few different ways. You can go to the Facebook page, Humanitarian Radio Facebook, or you can go to humanitarianradio.com. And on that site, a little FYI, we've added a variety of new pages. We've added an events photos page. So now all the events that we participate in, you can see exactly what happened at those events because we've got a full photo series for each of them. And then we've expanded our events calendar to cover around the world, as we have around the world listeners now. So another thing that you can check out is causes. We have a page that shows who we are trying to help. And right now we're trying to help a gentleman named Mike Precise, who is losing his vision. We're trying to raise $20,000 for him. We have about $1,750 raised. If you're interested in helping out that cause, you can check out humanitarianradio.com and see what's going on there.
USALuxuryDirect.com. 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 Top name brands from around the world, sold at discounted prices. Hundreds of items to choose from. Put Humanitarian Radio in the coupon zone for a 10% discount at USALuxuryDirect.com.
So we want to thank our sponsor, USA Luxury Direct. As you know, this show is run strictly on donations, and we appreciate them supporting our cause and helping us shout out some good news around the world. If you have a chance, go check out USALuxuryDirect.com and put in the code word Humanitarian Radio, and they'll give you an extra discount. Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
So it's time for some good news from around the world.
One of my absolutely favorite times of our show is the good news portion of the show. And I found a story that I think is totally appropriate and relates 100% to the guests that we have on our show today. So there is a gentleman who has made it his mission to hand out hugs. And, you know, you've seen people saying free hugs here and there. You know, in New York City, you always see a guy with a sign saying free hugs. In LA, we see that a lot. This gentleman is an Iraq war veteran, and he's on a different type of tour these days. He's traveling the country to find healing through hugs. His name is Ian Cook. He suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder since returning from his deployment in Iraq, and he says he's discovered a unique method of recovery. So, 4 months ago, he left his home in Portland, Oregon, and he started a human hug project, he calls it. It's a mission to spread love to others through a simple embrace. So far, Cook and his friends have traveled to more than 25,000 miles across country, visiting different Veteran Affairs medical centers and hugging whoever is willing to hold on to a stranger. I love that.
Well, you're a hugger, so you
I am a hugger, and I know what hugs do for me. It's a beautiful transfer of warm, loving energy from human to human, and I totally love that. I can exactly see how that is helping this guy to heal himself as well as others. He says, a hug is something I was so disconnected from for so many years that it's kind of my new medicine. If I'm going to be addicted to something, I want to be addicted to hugging. And it starts to take the pain of those memories. Instead, it replaces them with a sense of brotherhood, appreciation, love, and hope. So I recommend highly those of you who feel like you are lacking the receipt of love, start hugging. What a great idea and a great program. And bless this guy who's going to all these other veterans that he knows are probably going through similar things to him. And he's learned that for himself, that hugging is a simple resolve.
Absolutely. I think it's a great, great, great story.
So, got another story. This one comes out of Buffalo, New York. It's a young lady named Amber Simone. Amber was born with a birth defect that literally she had surgeries starting at age 6 months old, okay? And what was the problem was she didn't have vocal cord structure and issues with her vocal cords. So she was told that she would never talk, right? Well, Amber is now 19 years old, and Amber was just at a party recently and was singing a song. So Amber has been able to get her voice back, to the degree where she now has perfect pitch, has absolutely learned how to sing, and a friend of hers decided to take her into the studio and let her record the song that she sang. And the song has been put up on YouTube and now has over 2 million views.
Wow.
So check out Amber Simone. Check out her YouTube video. Definitely check it out. What a beautiful thing. You know, there's always, always, always hope. You just have to find it. If mm-hmm. you've lost hope, or if you think, wow, I'll never be able to do something, I got to tell you, at one point in my life, I was told I was never going to walk again.
That's right.
And we are at, 12, 13 years later. I figured out what I needed to do for my body. I figured out who I needed to get help me to take care of what I needed to take care of. And I've been walking, and I was even told recently by a doctor that did back surgery, blah, 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 that I could go water skiing and roller skating, and I could do anything I wanted to because I no longer have any issues. Point of that matter, if there's an issue that you think is hopeless, there's a really good chance that it's not. And Amber's the perfect example of that. Congratulations, Amber. I look forward to hearing your music video.
Well, when you hear that sound, you know it is time for our quote of the week.
A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. This is a quote by John Maxwell under a website called Brainy Quotes. Think about that. A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way.
Well, it's very similar to a pack leader. When you're talking about dogs, the leader will just, get up and move in the direction, and he doesn't ask anyone to follow him. He just moves, and all of them follow right along, knowing that he already has that thought in mind and that direction that he wants to go in.
Yeah, and another thought is lead by example. If you know the way, and you go the way, and you show the way, it's also similar to leading by example. If you want people to do what you're doing or follow what you're doing or follow your example, then you should lead by example.
Yeah, totally. And that's not always the easiest thing to do, but I think it's the smartest thing to do. Most people like to spend the time trying to convince someone. It's like, well, just
show
start
them.
Doing it. I think that's a great thought when you're actually asking someone to try something different or go on a diet or start
do a job this way or whatever it is. Yeah.
Take that energy and just do it yourself. Put that energy towards yourself. And as you do it toward yourself and you do lead by example, others
will
begin to question and follow what you're doing because they're seeing you walk the walk.
Exactly. That's it in a nutshell. It's a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. A leader is one who walks the walk. Then everybody follows because they see what you're doing.
Right. And they're staying true to it. They're not just saying it. They're actually doing
it. It's a lot easier to follow when you have an example. That is for sure. I like it.
Very true.
Thank you, Mr. John Maxwell.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Because I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes.
We choose to end.
For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Here are some events that may be happening in your area. Check out events calendar on humanitarianradio.com. July 1st to the 5th, the Radiant on Raw holiday retreat in Trinidad and Tobago. July 9th is a mastermind in Irvine, California. July 11th and the 19th, check out Energize Your Vibes in Newberry Park, California. July 22nd to the 29th is Insight Meditation Retreat in Barre, Massachusetts. July 22nd to August 30th is the Hortus Festival in Amsterdam, Holland. July 24th to the 26th, Pure Living Expo, Sedona, Arizona. And July 30th to August 2nd is the Fruits and Health in Slovenia, Europe. Lots of exciting things to do this month.
And if you have an event that you want to share with us, just go to our Facebook, Humanitarian Radio, or go to humanitarianradio.com and let us know about it. Also, if you want to learn more information about any of these events, go to our events page at humanitarianradio.com.
And we are back, and we are here with Dr. Michael Aharoni. He is the CEO and founder of Access to Therapy Network. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Good afternoon. I'm just fine. How about yourself?
Great, great. We are so delighted to have you joining us. We've been talking to our audience already and letting them know you were coming on and what you're up to briefly, but we'd love for you to give them some details about exactly how you got into the therapy world and where you're going from there.
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the air and having the opportunity for the audience to kind of learn more about what we do, which is fairly unique and quite innovative. My background is in psychology. I've been a clinical psychologist for not too long, maybe 35 years. Been working with all types of people. Part of my specialty has been working with organizations, large and medium organizations, as well as clinically working with couples and individuals over their last years. over the years, I've done quite a bit of work with pain management, as well as with people who have been homebound due to physical disabilities, mental disabilities. And, you know, over 35 years of work in the field of psychology, you see quite a bit of situations to help people who are suffering and struggling with emotional and mental issues.
Right, right. Do you feel that, now you've been doing this for 35 years, do you feel like you've seen a lot of patterns throughout the years? Because 35 years is a long time. Do you feel like there's different patterns coming up with different issues that people have? Because obviously the world has changed quite a bit, and there's different stresses upon us on people in the world today as far as like making a living or keeping a secure job and things like that. Have you seen any different patterns change as far as what stresses people out and why people would need therapy, or has it always been basically the same?
Well, actually, in the past 30-some years, there have been so many changes with lifestyles. I think that in one way, we've been getting into the internet and into progress in technology, which was supposed to make people's lives quite a bit easier and give us more time, because we hope that computers will take over some of the tasks that we were, you know, being tasked. Unfortunately, what I see is actually the population is getting more stressed out. It seems to be that people are working harder, longer hours, so the stress between people and not only at work, but within a social structure, because people are relying more on technology, and I think overlooking a great deal of the relationship, the personal relationship, where you get together, you talk, you converse in person as opposed to texting. So, yes, over the years, there's certainly different trends of issues. I think I tend to see more nowadays, I tend to see a lot more depression. I tend to see more post-traumatic stress disorders. There's also, because of the past few wars, in the last 10 years, we see a lot of veterans who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorders. You hear a lot about suicide, more recently about women committing suicide in a much higher rate in the military, about six times as many as in civilians. And those things were not happening, you know, 30, 20 years ago as much.
Wow. So, you know, I want to step back a moment and reiterate some of the things that you just said. As far as socially, you know, yeah, I do agree that computers are supposed to make things much easier. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in a restaurant where I'll see an entire family sitting down. It's a mom, dad, son, and daughter, and all of them are on their cell phones. And they're all sitting waiting for their meal to come, and they're all just doing their own thing. Either the kid's got a Game Boy, and they're all just sitting there. I go,
they're not communicating with each other.
No one's talking to each other. They're all in their own little zone, in their own little world. And, you know, growing up, it's so odd to see that, because you go, do these people even know each other? It's like, yeah, they're a family.
So what you see is that the psychology, the group psychology, the group dynamics, the social structure is changing so much that creates additional types of vision. Now, we always had the same kind of problems, you know, over the years. I mean, you go back in history and find, you know, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, you know, people becoming schizophrenic and all that. But those things are always been around. It's just that you do see sort of phases and waves of changes in some of those issues.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that a lot of these things have existed, but now with technology, it just seems to have increased in different areas where you think it would have gone away. And again, you had mentioned that computers were here to help us work less, and yet people are putting in more hours because there's even more of a demand on us saying, well, your computer can do this. And let's face it, people try to keep up, like, oh, well, I want to keep up on Facebook, and someone just texted me, and there's no way to get away from people anymore, because with our cell phones, even if you go on a hike in the middle of the woods, if you bring your phone with you, someone could be calling you and texting you, and you're like, okay. We were on a hike, actually, just the other day, Janie and I, and there's a beautiful place up here to hike, and it's so quiet. And some woman was actually hiking with a boombox playing rap songs out of the back of her backpack. And I was like,
in the beautiful wilderness.
I was like, how obnoxious is that? I felt like, I was like, are you serious? You have to, can't you put headphones on?
Can't you just leave it at home for a day?
It was amazing. Yeah. And she was with a person too. So I was like blown away.
And then, you know, there's an additional thing that's happening now in psychology in terms of issues that didn't exist before we had all these ability, all these electronic devices where we text, we email and all that, is that a lot of times now married people have a lot more marriage is falling apart because people are cheating on each other and they're using their electronic system, and that all that can be traced back. So that we find, I probably right now, half of my practice, couples that one of them cheated on the other and were found out due to going to the cell phone, going through the emails. And so that's becoming a much greater, sort of a bigger population that we see. Part of it is because I think people have easier access to connect with other people, sort of like they don't know in circuit. It's no longer just getting to know people within your social system. Now you can meet people in other states. You can meet people that you otherwise would not have met them through the internet. So through Facebook, through social media, people tend to now actually reach out and almost literally touch somebody, right? And then they get caught because their spouse is suspicious and much easier to catch them. So I get a lot of couples now that basically are in real trouble because, you know, breaking up and going through divorce, especially when you have kids, is very painful. And that's most psychologists are seeing that more often now.
Wow, so with technology, it's that much easier to trace, and like you said, the temptation is there probably greater, and the outreach to meet other people that they normally wouldn't have met is much greater, especially with Facebook and texting and stuff. People can reach out to people that they, hey, I remember her from high school. I remember him when I was, 16, and now she's or he's 40-something, and they're like, then they just meet up with old boyfriends and old girlfriends and
create problems.
Yeah, where normally you would have never kept in touch with these people because you're like, unless you lived in the same state with them. Yeah,
that's correct. So technology is bad. It's how we use it, because in our case, with access to therapy, we recognize that with the advance of technology, we can basically use technology to provide help, psychological help, to people that otherwise without technology would not have that kind of help. That's the direction that we're moving towards with access to therapy, working with populations that do not have access to therapists. And technology, especially video, the technology in video, gives the opportunity to provide therapeutic help to people that otherwise would not have gotten it. And they would have suffered needlessly. And now with this technology that, in one hand, we see it's causing a lot of difficulties, we also are able now to use it in a much more positive way and be able to provide services that are equal in efficacy and treatment to somebody coming to my office.
Right. So let's talk about that a little. So Access to Therapy, sure, your company, I'm assuming what they people can do, couples and individuals, if they can't physically come to your office, they can log on to the computer and via a Skype-type system, they can speak to you back and forth. And so they can have their session right in their house. So if there is a mom with a family and they can't have the kids babysat for an hour, they can say, hey, listen, I'm going to go and sit with my therapist. And I'm assuming that you probably have a higher retention rate because now they don't have to drive there. You don't have missed appointments. People stay more consistent. Is that accurate?
Going deeper than that, if you're in the military and you're confined to a hospital or something of that nature where you can't even get out if you wanted to, this is a beautiful ability.
Correct. So what happened was about maybe 6-7 years ago, I was doing quite a bit of work with people homebound. I was involved with the Arthritis Foundation, where people are a lot of times in pain, and they to go to a therapist's office was very painful to them. And then I got involved with other populations with physical disabilities and recognized that basically there are millions of people around the country that just don't have access to good therapy. Maybe sometimes by phone, but by phone you don't see a person and you really miss out on a lot of cues. But as about 6-7 years ago when, you know, Skype came on and some of the technology wasn't quite good enough 6 years ago in terms of video because there were problems with pixelation and it wasn't very reliable. And the audio system was always kind of delayed, you know, so it was kind of hard to focus on people. But what I recognize is that as video systems were getting better and better, this gave me an opportunity to think in terms of instead of just working with a few people, how can I go about create an online website program, like a hub, where I can connect therapists from all over the country, especially those who specialize in issues, and connect with many types of populations that are out there. We all pretty much have connection to broadband through our electronic computers and iPhones and iPods. So I realized about 5 years ago, I started working on the idea of not just doing it one person at a time. I wanted to create a business that gives opportunity to the millions of people who are out there. And you mentioned, for example, the parents who have kids, especially young mothers who have a young child at home, and she can't come to the office. Being able to just simply go on the computer and be able to talk to a therapist made sense. And we recognize that over half the population in the United States live in rural areas where you don't have a therapist.
Right.
You know, it's one thing if you in a city and you can't get to the therapist due to transportation or physical disability. It's another thing when you have people living not near a big city where you have a therapist. So that kind of led me to develop a program about 5 years ago. It took us a long time because we wanted the technology to get better. And we are in a place now where that's what access to therapy is really all about.
And that's perfect because, you know, again, I think what happens is it's the subtleties when you're speaking to someone on video. As a therapist, I'm sure what you do is you hold a space for someone and you pose a question and you wait for them to react. And it's that timing and it's that watching them and being able to see each other, because then you can actually pick up on all the subtleties. Like you said, over the phone, it's that much harder. But have you found now that the video is strong enough that you can actually see someone and it's probably very similar to sitting in the office? I mean, do you notice a difference with the patients that you treat?
Well, right by now, there's quite a bit of research that shows that the efficacy and treatment outcome between those who get treatment via video system, you know, and those who come to our office is within the 95th percentile, which means it's pretty much similar. We get the same results.
Wow.
What we do is we use a very high quality HD quality video so that within 5 minutes of talking to the client, you feel like you're in the same office. You feel like you're in the same room. So that is when we compare it to people who come to the office. What you have to consider is that most of the people we work with would never be able to come to an office.
That's why I think it's so wonderful about the fact that you're doing it this way, is you're just opening the door for so many more individuals to get help.
Right. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to create a model, a business model, that was very, very similar for the client who comes into my office. So the way the website works, everything works through the website. The way the website works is that on access to therapy is if somebody wants a therapist anywhere in the country, actually anywhere in the world, because we can work with people, obviously overseas, that, you know, as long as they have internet connection, So the way the model works is that you can be anywhere and you're looking for a therapist. You go on our website, Access to Therapy, and you basically, each state has its own therapy. So in California, you click on California, and then you have a directory of therapists. And the directory gives you the opportunity to choose a therapist that fits your need in terms of background and specialty. And then as a client, you just simply send an email to the therapist. You get response right away. And once the therapist talks to you and decided on meeting time and fees and insurance and all that, the system creates for the client a sort of like a private room, so that when the time of the session, all they do is press on one button and they connect with the therapist. They do the session. So it makes it really easy to find the therapist, to connect with the therapist, and you don't have to drive to the therapist's office, or you don't have to leave the house or your office.
I think what's great about that is that you're saying that through your network, they can find a therapist that is actually in their state or someone that's out of their state where normally you wouldn't even have access to them. So if they live in middle America and they want access to a specialist who happens to live in California, they can literally have sessions with that person in California and they don't have to drive, 16 hours.
Well, not quite. It's right currently, those of us who are licensed, when you're licensed in a particular state, by the law states that you can only work with people within who residents of that state that you license. It's like a driver's license, right?
Oh, okay. Okay.
What we have is, if I'm licensed as a therapist in California, currently I can only work with residents of California. But that's the reason why we're putting on therapists from every single state. We're in the process of doing that, so that no matter what state you're going to be in, you'll be able to find a provider on our directory within your state. Now, these regulations are in the process of being changed, and I think within a year or two, we'll be able to get away from the boundaries, from the physical boundaries, and be able to have, what you're saying is, somebody in New Mexico will be able to get therapy from somebody in, say, California or New York. So a lot of things are changing, but what our responsibility is to be able to provide therapists within the state that the client wants to see.
Right. Okay. And I think that's just it's really cool to see technology be used this way, because obviously this just expands everyone's
ability to get help.
Yeah, to get help and to get help from their own home. Because I'm sure there's stigmas involved of saying, hey, well, I have to go see a therapist, or I have a meeting. And now they can do it within the privacy of their home, which must help a lot, because now they don't have to leave.
Right.
They're just like, I'm on the computer. Let me ask you this.
It's more private that way, too.
Does the therapy session get recorded, or can it be recorded?
Good question. So technology provides us with certain things that we cannot do in our office easily. So answering your question is, yes, the client or on our system, the client or the therapist has the capability of recording the session, which records on their own computer. It's not, none of the information, we don't store any information, by the way. So it's all HIPAA proof, and we don't have the problem of maintaining records on in someplace in space. So because we don't record anything on the cloud or on any server, we then don't have the liability of somebody basically going and finding, records. But yes, the client has the capability of recording it on their own computer. So it's not on the server. And then they can go back and watch the session, listen to the session, which is extremely advantageous for a lot of clients. The therapist can record it as well. We usually don't recommend for the therapist to record it, because that could create additional liability.
Sure.
But the client can certainly record it, and then if they want to delete it, they can delete it.
And I think that's probably very, very helpful for people that are going through different issues, because when they're in the session, they're in the moment, and there's a lot of information that's being exchanged. And to be able to sit back and listen to it a second or third time, then it really starts to sink in. And if you're doing a session once a week, at least now you have a chance to really focus on the discussion, and it could help you probably get better that much quicker because now you've really had a chance to really absorb it.
Well, even going back to it 6 months later, you know, when you might have a relapse of the same similar feeling or whatever it is you're experiencing, having the ability to go back and check in with what the advice given was at that point is really a helpful little tool.
Exactly. Years ago, we used to, some therapists used to, you know, tape the sessions on a cassette and then client would take it home and listen. And that was useful then. So you can imagine how useful it is for the client to kind of go through the whole session, seeing the therapist as well as themselves as they go back and forth communicating. So this is definitely an advantage. The other amazing advantage we have is that we don't have to do just connect with one person. I can connect as a therapist online. I can connect with two people in two different locations at the same time. So let's say you have husband and wife who are maybe not living in the same place because they're too angry at each other. Or you have, you know, an adult child having issues with their parents and they're in different states or in different locations. We can connect, you know, the two people, three people. I can even do group from eight different places all at the same time using our video system. So this is another advantage where you may have a client that can come to my office, but the person they're having an issue with, you know, let's say a relationship issue, may not be available other than geographically not be available other than being able to connect with the video.
Yeah, and I could see how that could be very helpful, especially in the situations where it's a husband and wife that are having issues and maybe they don't want to see each other or maybe they are in a separation type situation, so they can do it from their home or from wherever, and they don't have to actually physically see each other again because there's still a lot of tension there. Let's talk about your nonprofit that you've set up for the military, because I looked at the numbers that you were on your website, and they were staggering to me to see how many people are dealing with depression, and how many suicides there were, and how many people are addicted to some type of drugs out there. So let's talk about that as far as what's happening to these soldiers when they get back, and how can we help them?
Okay, so thank you for going in that direction, because I think we're constantly reading articles and hearing all the time about our troops that served us well in Afghanistan and many wars, going all the way back to Vietnam, that, you know, when you go to a war and you are seeing your bodies being blown up or you're seeing awful things, obviously you come back to the States and you're going to have some mental issues. And we're constantly hearing about post-traumatic stress disorders. We hear about veterans who are coming back to the States and are having difficulty adjusting. They have nightmares. A lot of them have domestic violence issues, or they're dealing with drugs in order to deal with their pain. So you have as many as, you know, I think there's about 345,000 people using substance abuse, you know, and you've got people who, you know, hundreds of thousands of military personnel with PTSD and so on. And so over the years, we get lots of calls from veterans. A lot of times veterans don't have insurance or don't have the means to cover themselves financially to go see a therapist. That was one issue. Another issue is the Veteran Administration, the VA, as much as they help, try to help, they're very limited in their resources, and we find that people who are suffering from PTSD and depression and so on have to wait months before they can see a therapist through the VA. So one of the things I set out to do recently, this is just in the last few months, was to try and provide the kind of services to the military personnel, especially those who cannot afford it. So we created a new corporation, which is a nonprofit corporation. This corporation is called U.S. Military Care, www.thisisdoctormichael.org. That's our website. We're not live yet. We'll be live with that corporation probably by the end of the month, and it will be called usmilitarycare.org. And it is set up so that we can raise funds from corporations, from individuals, from grants. We want to raise, you know, funds, $500,000, $1 million, so that we can provide the services for free.
Right, right. And someone doesn't have to wait 6 months, because let's face it, if you're going through depression, 6 months might as well be 6 years. I mean, you need that therapy here and now. You can't. It's not something like, it's almost like an open wound. You have to do something about it, or it's just going to slowly kill you.
It gets worse.
Yeah.
You're right. And that's especially psychologically, because once you start struggling mentally and you don't have a way to talk about it or to find ways to deal with it, that's stuck in your head, right? So you know how sometimes something gets stuck in your head and you just keep repeating it, repeating it? Eventually it gets bigger than the actual problem. So you do want to provide help as soon as possible.
Let me ask you something about that, because I've done some studying on different things, and one of the treatments, and I want to see what your thought is on this, is, like you said, mm-hmm. there's an issue. Let's say there was something traumatic happened, and the person keeps playing this in their head over and over again, and throughout time, it gets bigger and bigger. So what was once... it could have been, let's say we're going to use the military, but let's say the sergeant yelled at you and said, you're worthless, you're going to get us all killed. Let's say he just said that.
Right.
So the soldier heard that comment, and somehow that got embedded in his brain, and next thing you know, he's blowing it up. So now he hears that all the time. Maybe something did go wrong, and now he's blaming himself because this sergeant had said it to him. So now this picture keeps getting bigger and bigger. Is one of the treatments to take that movie, let's say, that he's playing in his head and mix it up, saying, okay, listen, now you're going to play that same movie, but now it's going to be in black and white. So play the movie again. Now that it's in black and white, now let's start taking the audio down. Okay, now you heard it again, and now so you start repeating that same thing, but you start messing with the media, mm-hmm. if you will, so that way it doesn't play the same anymore, because you're the one who keeps playing it over and over again, and you're the one who's made it so much bigger than it actually is. Is that one of the treatments that you usually use, or how do you normally treat someone like that?
Well, this is certainly one treatment of several that we find quite helpful. One of the most important things is for people to replay their story, tell their story, and begin to connect to what was real and what was fantasy in their heads, so that they can get dissociated, or they can basically disengage from their own anxiety about it and look at it in a more realistic way. So telling your story over and over again, being able to connect with what really did happen versus what you imagined that happened. So a lot of times people that go through a traumatic experience basically lose the sense of what actually happened, because they translate it as, what did I do wrong? So a lot of times they'll feel guilty, they feel shame, and when you feel guilty and shame, you don't want to talk to anybody.
Right.
So yeah, this is one of the techniques. We do a lot of behavioral modification, cognitive. You hear a lot about cognitive behavioral work, where using cognition, the way a person is thinking, to kind of reconnect with reality. So the sooner a person after trauma, the sooner a person can begin to tell the story, the less dramatic it is for that person. Because we create drama all the time, as you know. I mean, not just in the military, but, you know, I keep telling people that I work with, if you get rid of the drama, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Right, right. And it's interesting, because how the mind works, and how they, you know, the mind will take certain things that were fact and distort them somehow to go, well, that's not exactly how it happened. Well, that's how it felt. You're like, yeah, but that's not the actual thing that happened. So let's talk about the facts as opposed to your feelings attached to the facts. That's an interesting thing. And I think that's what obviously therapists do, is they can get in there and they can just quickly and more very accurately pinpoint the situation and the problem, because I would assume 99% of the problem is it's like it's their interpretation of what's going on. So it's like it's your attachment to the situation as opposed to the situation. And, you know, I often say we can't change the world, but we can change the way we react to the world. So
that's correct, because reality is really a perception, right? That your reality is based on perception. And the way you perceive things is the way your mind has learned to view what life is about from day one. So some people react in one way, which could be very traumatic, and other people can just let it roll off their back quite easy. But this is where psychology becomes very powerful in helping people, because what you do is you don't change the circumstances, you change the way you're thinking about it.
Right.
And when you change the way you think about something, the feelings about it change, right? Because when you think about something, that feeling, if I take a, I don't know, if you think you're going to hurt me, my heart speeds up, I get anxious, I can sweat, even though you weren't about to hit me. Just thinking about it, you know, would make me feel a certain way. But if I think something positive, then I get more positive feelings from that. So with military, one of the things that we focus on is military has a culture. And what we're doing is we're focusing on bringing on board therapists who have the military culture. Or maybe themselves were in the military. They really have to have training in working specifically with military people, because military families deal with things a little bit differently than when they're normal, regular civilians. So this is one of the areas that we really important to do that other places don't do it. We want to provide military families the kind of therapists that understand their culture, because the issues that, if you don't understand military culture, what they're going through, you really won't be able to help them.
Exactly, right. Exactly. And I think you know, you nailed it right there, is that you're having the right people there to train and to give them the information that they need that's going to really push them along, because they are experienced in that field. I think what you're doing is really great. I mean, the fact that the you're helping veterans that have, you know, served for this country and have put their lives on the line and are come back and they have issues, and those issues really need to be taken care of sooner than later. And the fact that you started this organization for them is really commendable. So if you want to learn more about what Michael's doing, and if you want to help him out, go to www.accesstotherapy.com. You'll find all the information there. If you want to donate, help the veterans out, or maybe you might be seeking some therapy yourself or know someone who could use it, this is a great way to have a doctor come to your home, basically.
Absolutely. And, you know, we always encourage our people to get behind the guests that we have on this show, and they've been really good about helping out. Very happy to put links on our website to connect our people to you so that they can find you, donate, recommend, all that fun stuff. And thank you so, so, so very much for what you're doing to help people get through their everyday life. We really appreciate everything that you've got going on, Doctor, and how you're serving your nation.
I want to thank you for the opportunity.
Excellent. Thank you again, and we would love to talk to you again real soon.
Thanks a lot.
So every week we like to dedicate a song to our guests, and this week it's a song called Turn Yourself Around. And what this song is about is sometimes you try to help people, and you are really trying to give them everything that you have, but if they're not ready to receive it, sometimes it's best to take that energy and use it on yourself and help yourself move forward. So this is Turn Yourself Around by Saint Tone.
Turn yourself around, don't sit and wait. Everybody needs a little faith to find the sunshine when it rains. But you don't hear a sound as you look away. Oh, baby, don't you know me? I'm the one who wants so dear to try to turn yourself around. Turn yourself around. I'm not here to fight, to prove who's wrong or right, when all I really want is for you to believe. Skies hit the ground and lift you sky.
instead of going on, don't you remember? Yeah, it's up to you, win or lose, when it comes right down to choosing. Don't be fooled by all the rules of the weather. Turn yourself around, find a way. Anything is better than complaints that seem to swallow up your time. But you don't hear a sound. You don't hear a sound. Follow you home. Tell me so I'll just leave you alone. Tell me, aren't you waiting? Chains will follow you home. Tell me so I'll just leave you alone. I feel turning around for the time.
So that was Turn Yourself Around by St. Tone. So if you want to check out that song or find out where the band is playing live, go to www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com. And see if they're playing in a town near you.
You know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story or if you know of someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.